Good morning. Oops. Better go the right direction. Well, I'm organized. As Fallon already shared, the conference was very good. The Word of God was so rich. Branson is not only a place to go and hear rich, rich word, but it's a really good place for a holiday, for a vacation, and just Branson itself, the shows, and it's beautiful, and shopping, and all that good stuff, and seeing how many meals you can fit in a day, it's all good. But I'm going to start just by sharing a little bit, some of the same stuff Fallon shared to do with honor, and the same scripture, and the conference was so much about honoring God in our lives and increase, that honor and increase go together, and it's really interesting because I have the description of honor and despise and same stuff. But what just came to me that actually at work yesterday when I was just thinking about, you know, this thought came to me that when we honor God, that's when the glory comes. When we're honoring God in our lives, then we can expect to see the manifestations of his goodness and his power and his presence in our lives, because we're honoring him. We're making much of him, and we're esteeming him, and the word glory is it means heavy with good, and heavy with precious, and heavy with valuable. And Fallon shared some of that, but the glory comes into our lives when we honor God, and then we experience the goodness of God and the presence of God in heavy ways and abundance in our lives. And it was just really, really good. But when we, as Fallon said, despise or make light of God, make light of the Word of God, then it minimizes its effectiveness in our lives. So if we're, you know, in the area of giving, the word says to bring our tithes. So if we go, well, I know it says that, but I don't really want to do that, and I don't see what's the big deal about it, we're not honoring the word. Therefore, we're minimizing the effectiveness of the word in our lives. And when we believe that giving brings increase into our lives, if we're not doing that, then we're actually cutting ourselves off from that part of blessing, because we're not making much of the Word of God. And if I diminish that place in my life, then it weakens its power in my life. So honoring God is just not only, it's a love response, it's our heart toward him, but it brings good into our lives. It brings blessing and favor and love and all God's goodness. And when Fallon talked about the value of the gift, I also was going to talk, is determined by the value of the giver. And the biggest example we have of that is when God gave us his son. The value of the gift to God was Jesus, and what value that was, and he gave him to us to be our redeemer, to be our healer, to take away the curse from our lives. And so that gift was determined by the heart of the giver. And we're so thankful that God gave us Jesus. And so lots of the whole conference was honor. And that was the theme. But something else Keith shared about was about us being faith children of a faith God. And that was just really, really good. In Matthew 9, verse 28-29, Jesus is talking, and he says, do you believe I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. And so then he says, according to your faith, let it be to you. Let it be to you. And we know, we've been taught in this church, and we know that when God created, he said, something be, light be. And it was. And we're faith kids of a faith God. So if that's true, then we can say in our lives, we can tell things to be in our lives that we need. So we can say, if something's in our lives, a sickness or a disease, we can say, be gone. We can say, be free. We can say, be loosed, be healed. Like, we have that same faith gene in us because we're kids of a faith God. So we have the ability to say, be, and it's done for us. And that was just really good. And no matter what I'm believing for in my life or what we're believing for in our lives, it's already there. So I read a book lately, and just the teaching at the conference, that what we're believing for, God, when God created, he didn't create out of nothing. And sometimes we might interpret that, but God didn't create out of nothing. He created out of the unseen. And I just want to get this right. He said that he created, but it wasn't out of nothing. It was just out of the things we don't see, but it was there. It was always there. And so when we're speaking the word of God and saying those things that we're believing for, it's already there. We maybe don't see it yet, but it doesn't mean it's not there. And in 2 Kings 6:15 to 16, when the servant thought that they were surrounded, and they were surrounded, but he thought, you know, how can we ever survive? There's only us. So that's what's happening here. But he says, what do we do? But in the next verse is where Elisha says, do not fear, for those who with us are more than those are with them. And, oh, keep going. Yeah, and he prayed and said, Lord, I pray you open his eyes that he may see. And he opened his eyes and he saw the chariots on the mountainside and all the protection and coverage they had. But the fact is, it was always there. He just didn't see it at the time. And so no matter what we're facing in our lives, what we need in our lives is already there. It's just a matter of calling it to be in our lives and declaring it in our lives. And so those are just some of the things that were really good for me at the conference. Just to believe the word of God, to declare the word of God in every area of our lives, and to know that those with us are greater than those that the enemy would bring against us, and that all we need is already provided for us in the kingdom. So God bless you.
Good morning. I have two things from the conference that I wanted to share with you. You can probably guess by now the first one is about honoring God. This is the third time you'll hear it. When you walk into Keith's sanctuary, one of the things that you notice or see right away in this humongous church of his is that up there, right up in front, just about the same as ours, he has part of that scripture that says, those who honor me, I will honor. And it's right front and center. Keith believes that. And that's what he talked about. And he spent one whole night on honoring God. So this is some of the things that I learned about honoring God from Keith. God honors us the same way as we honor him. We honor God in the things that we do for him. Things like participating in our church, helping people day to day, how we speak, how we talk. And how we dress. And I have a little story for you about how we dress for church. Can you hear me? Oh, okay. When I was growing up, when Sunday came along, there was never a Sunday that I can remember that my dad didn't put on a suit and tie. Sometimes not the tie, but always a suit to go to church. Mom always wore a dress, always perfume, always dolled up. And I never really understood that until this week, where we spent with Keith, and he explained to me, or to us, that was their way of honoring God. They went to church fully dressed in their best. And that's what Keith believes as well. That's how we go to church. So that was one of the ways that they honored God that I didn't know that I do know now. The other thing I learned from Keith in honoring God is honoring God gives us connection to his blessings. All of the blessings, the blessing and the favor that goes ahead of us, behind us, on top of us and beside us. So I'll, in 1 Samuel 2, verse 30, which I know you've seen a couple times already, it says, "Those that honor me, I will honor." I like the fact, personally, that God will honor us with blessing, favor, and the blood of Jesus if we honor him. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So if you treasure God, your heart will be there. Sticky paper. Whoops, don't want to do that. The next thing that I learned from Keith, or we learned from Keith, is Keith teaches that we should have faith and believe for our needs, but not only our needs, but also our wants. It's okay to believe for big things and for nice things. Nice things can be a new house, your children's education, money to bless your family and others, and happy family relationships. It's okay to believe for those. I was of the opinion for the longest time that you only ask God for what you need. Just be humble and just ask him for your day-to-day stuff. Keith says, no, there's nothing wrong with asking for nice things, for big things, for yourself and for your families. If we sow only to meet our needs, then that's what we'll receive, only enough to get by. Our God wants us to have abundant, thriving, exciting, and rich lives. So we should have the faith and believe in the nice things as well as our needs. Right now, as we speak, the Faith Life Church is believing for a multi-million-dollar instrumentation upgrade for Keith's plane. The upgrade is required because of the change in the airline industry, and it's a need. So they're believing for that need. But they're also believing for wingtips for the same plane that are not a need. They're a multi-million-dollar addition to the plane, and they're a nice thing to have for the plane, make the plane fly better, but they're not required. But Keith and his congregation are believing for that nice thing for that plane. Keith's teachings are strong. They're direct, and in my opinion, they're correct. Keith teaches that we eat over and over again for strength in our bodies. We have to eat. That keeps our bodies going. He says, we hear the word of God over and over again so that we feed our spirit. The word of God is clear, and the teachings are good during the week of increase with Keith. So I encourage anyone that can go for that week of increase to go and enjoy, because it is very enjoyable. So I thank you. And Sandra's next.
Bob, I thought we were going to hear more about buffets. Doug and Bob just totally enjoyed this holiday. They got to eat and eat and eat. Yeah. Even after church, sometimes we'd go and eat. There's so many restaurants. You got to try as many as you can. That First Samuel scripture, one more time. Doug, are you using it too? The story from the New Testament that Fallon shared about the alabaster box. Tell me, who honored Jesus and who despised or thought lightly of Jesus? Right? Have you got it? That lady so honored him. And those people that said, what a waste. You know, I think we heard some of this week, that week, the week of increase too, that when someone so honors God and so is so pure before him, it points out or makes obvious those that don't honor him. And really, that's probably where the anger came about the waste. It wasn't so much the perfume, but that she's really showing me up here, like with that honor. And it shows my heart, that person's heart, that said that it was a waste. It really put a light on it, and there was anger there. Would it get, Nathan, if you could show that my second scripture from Genesis with Cain and Abel. Just, it's such a perfect example of honor and despise or esteeming lightly. It says that in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit to the ground, of the ground to the Lord. So, you know, at the end of the summer, you know, maybe it's not as good anymore. I've got enough now. I can give this to the Lord. You can see where his heart was, right? There was not that honor. It was, he probably knew in himself that he wasn't honoring God. He probably knew, well, like we know when you give a gift and it's just a package of napkins you had in the back of the cupboard and, or, you know, something that really didn't mean anything to you anyway, or something that was precious to you. You know when you're giving honor to that person and when it's a special gift. Abel also brought of the firstborn. Woo! You see the contrast? The first lamb he got. I'm going to honor God with it. You see his heart? You can see the difference, right? Okay? Continue. But he did not... Oh, did I skip one? Sorry. Yes. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Those who honor me, I will honor. But he did not give honor or respect Cain's offering. And Cain was angry and his countenance fell. His brothers showed him up. Right? Just like the alabaster, the lady with the alabaster box. It showed his heart. Abel's honor to God showed up Cain's dishonor or thinking lightly of God. Go ahead. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? Here's your chance, Cain. Change it. Do something different. Give me something that will honor me. Change. I'm giving you an opportunity. But if you don't, sin lies at your door, and its desire is for you. You know the enemy would want to destroy him. But you should rule over that sin. You should take this opportunity and change and make it right. But we know Cain didn't. We know his anger caused him to kill his brother, and we had the first murder, the first murder recorded because of it. Honor is so important. We can't begin to tell you everything that we heard that week, but though you know those the conference is free to download, free to order. It's the Week of Increase 2016. Many things, you know, touched our hearts, as you can tell, as we're sharing. But I just wanted to say, on November 20th, we have an opportunity to honor the Lord through the people, by honoring the people that he put in our lives. And Fallon, you said that it's hard for a pastor to talk about pastor appreciation. But Ryan and Fallon are pastors, too. She actually was talking about herself. And they are elders in our church. And so on the 20th, we have an opportunity to honor them, to honor Cam and Candace, our elders as well, and soon to be senior pastors. We have an opportunity to honor the pastors that God has put here at Solid Rock, I don't know, over 20 years, that he's given to us to shepherd us. And when we honor them, we are honoring God. So take time. You've got 4 weeks. Take time and find something that you feel from the Lord would be precious to you to give, that would mean something to you, and give it as a gift of honor to them and in turn to the Lord. Don't be like Cain. Don't be like the people who said that it was a waste. it's not. Honoring the Lord will bring honor to you.
Last Friday, Sandra and I were on our way to Moose Jaw and to a conference there, and Pastor Ray phoned me, I don't know, about 3 o'clock Friday afternoon on the cell phone, and he just said, you know, what was happening today, and if Bob and Denise were going to share, he says, can you just finish up? He says, there'll probably be a lot of time left, and he says, can you share a message? And it's really interesting because God, the last few times that I've been asked to speak, as soon as I'm asked to speak, God gives me a title, and that's really fun. And instantly I had a title, and it says, Faith for Finances, Faith for Finances. And then right away I take that, and the Lord just gives me scripture after scripture. But I can't preach that in 5 minutes. So you're going to have to wait till some other time, because I really believe that if you got a hold of Faith for Finances, that no more limits would be taken off your finances as well. And because there's so many things that our tradition has taught us in church, and can you put up Matthew 7:13? Or sorry, Mark 7:13. It says, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. I was teaching a Bible study years ago, and we were week after week after week, we just talked about how powerful the word of God was. And the word of God can just change anything. And I remember one week coming there and just saying, you know, guys, I found something that's stronger than the word of God. And I remember we were all learning together, and the people's mouths fell open, and I said, it's our tradition. Our tradition can make that word of God of no effect. We can just neutralize the word of God from tradition. And if you've grown up thinking that God only wants you to be so-so, you're not supposed to have a lot of money, you're not supposed to be healed, not supposed to be this, that tradition can stop this word of God from working in your life. And you've got to change the word of God, change your tradition by the word of God. Now, faith for finances is really important. But one of the first things you've got to do is get rid of that tradition. Sandra and I, years ago, used to go to Kenneth Hagin's CAP meetings, and one of the young guys that used to speak there back in those days, that was in the early 90s, was Keith Moore. And you know, when Bob was referring to Keith Moore, it's not Keith Moore; it's the Word of God that Keith Moore teaches. That's what's powerful in our lives. And anyways, we just that's one of the ministers that we feel, Sandra and I feel, that God has called us to listen to. And the Lord spoke to him to have 3 conferences every year. So he has a marriage conference every spring. In Sarasota, in Florida, in February, he has the Greater Faith Conference. And then he has this one in Branson every fall called the Week of Increase. Now, we've gone to that one in Sarasota, and it's funny how that works. But if Bill Prankert happens to be having a conference in February in Alaska, and Keith Moore is having a conference in Florida in February, it always seems that God speaks to us to go to the one in Florida. We just hear it a little clearer that way. But I'm supposed to be talking about the Week of Increase. And the Week of Increase is exactly that. And the scripture that is based on is Psalm 115, verse 14. Psalm 115, 14 says, may the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. That's the word of God. That's the word of God. Not tradition, that's the word of God. God wants you to increase. So he doesn't say that if you tithe next Sunday, you're going to get $1 million. But you should be further ahead next year than you are this year in your finances, because God wants to give increase into your life. But every year he has a theme, and this year the theme was honor. And what everybody's been talking about honor in Samuel, that word despise, that's just the opposite of honor. It's either honor or it's despise. So we think the word despise means hate. And so it says, you despise me. So what you think, well, I don't despise God. I don't hate God. That doesn't mean despise. And it can even be something as simply as ignoring it, simply as ignoring something. And so this whole thing of honor is something that we have to get a hold of a church if we're going to get to the next level. And, you know, Bob mentioned something, but I just want you to even consider, if Prime Minister Justin Trudeau came to Swan River and he rented a place at the Westwood Inn, and just you and him were going to have a meal there together, just you and Justin Trudeau, how would you honor him? How would you present yourself? How would you go there? And that's the thing about God. And Bob even mentioned dress. But what's happened with the church is way back when, it became a law. All the things honoring God became a law. And it got so strong at being a law that then when the people start hearing the grace message, they just said, oh, good, we don't have to do nothing anymore. And all of a sudden, we've let that honor thing slip. And so we've taken something that used to be the law, and that's the thing that Keith is getting across to us, that you don't do stuff because it's a law. You don't do stuff because you have to, but you honor God the way you would honor whoever. And so that's between you and God. But it's not this attitude where God is our buddy, because sometimes we've let that fall. We've let that slip. So we like the book of Malachi. We like where it talks about tithing. But there are offerings that God does not receive because there's no honor with it. There are offerings that God does not receive. And Santa just showed you with Cain and Abel that God respected, and that means he received one. And God didn't respect Cain's offering because Cain didn't respect it himself. It's just in the process of time he got around to giving it. It wasn't anything big to Cain, and so it wasn't anything big to God. And if we look at Malachi in chapter 1 in verse 6, it says, this is God speaking, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name. Would you think that they actually hated him? That they hated God? But again, no. It's just not honoring him. It's the opposite of honor. Despising is the opposite of honor. I wrote here in my Bible, it says to think little of. It's the opposite of honor. It's esteem lightly. To simply ignore something. So he says, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? But he says, he talks about honor there. Then if we go down to verse 10, it says, who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hand. I will not accept it. I will not accept an offering. There's offerings that God does not accept. So just because you're mechanically giving all the time does not mean that God is accepting the offering. Then in verse 13, he says, you also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you offer, bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? You bring the stolen, the lame, the sick. And so back in those days, if they would bring a sheep, they bring the lame one, they bring the sick one. Yes, they were bringing an offering, but it wasn't their best. There was no honor with it. And then the Bible says that God would not receive it. And so when we talk about honor and we talk about giving to God, that's what that whole week was about. It's just about how we can honor God. Take it to another level in your giving to honor the Lord. Now, again, I haven't got time today to do what I was going to do. So I just think I'm just going to pass it back to Fallon, because it was a good week. It was a week that we just learned about increase, and that God wants us to increase. That God wants not just your needs met, but He wants your wants met. But again, it's not about getting your wants met or your needs met. It's about honoring God, and then God will bless us as we bless Him. If you remember how Abraham in Exodus chapter 12, Genesis 12, Abraham was blessed, but the reason God blessed him was so he could be a blessing. And that we God wants His church to be blessed. He wants His church to be increased so that we can be a blessing to others. And so, anyways, it was a good week. We had a lot of fun. Like I say, in Branson, when we go to the Copeland conventions in Fort Worth every summer, that's an endurance test. I mean, the meetings start at 9 o'clock in the morning. There's five speakers all day long, and we're done usually about 10 o'clock at night. And you can hardly get back to your hotel room and get to sleep, and you're up doing the thing the next day. Now that's a whole different deal. That's called full immersion, and you're fully immersed in the Word. Whereas in Branson, I mean, some of them sleep till noon. Some of us get up and do something, but you can sleep in, you can go shopping, you can eat. Bob says, after the third or fourth day he was with me, he said, I don't know if I can keep this up eating seven meals a day, but I don't know, he seems to do just fine. But anyway, so God bless you all, and I'll give it back to Phil.
Man, why don't you guys stand up? Because I don't think God wants us to leave here with just some head knowledge, right?